I absolutely love what Mitch McConnell did on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Republicans go to meet with Tim Geithner representing the administration last week on how we're going to avoid this fiscal cliff. Geithner outlines what he wants, what the president wants. And Mitch McConnell just laughed and said, are you serious? And Geithner said, yes, this is what we want. $1.6 trillion in new taxes, $50 billion in additional spending. And, we'll cut $400 billion in spending down the line somewhere. You know, this in a country where the problem is spending, and it's treated as an afterthought. So Mitch McConnell did something absolutely brilliant. He took to the floor of the United States Senate and said, let's get everyone on the record here. Let's have a vote on it.
So for the White House to demand a response shows they're just playing games at this point. And if you don't believe me, ask yourself, how many Democrats would vote for this bill? Not many. But I didn't think we should have to speculate. I still think we should give Democrats a chance to demonstrate for themselves how serious the president's plan was.
Love it.
And how serious they are. That's why I just asked consent to offer an amendment to the Russia trade bill that gave them that opportunity. As I noted, I'd be happy to have this vote here, or as an amendment to the next bill, or as a standalone. If the president's proposal was made in good faith, our friends should be eager to vote for it. So I'm surprised the majority leader just declined the chance for them to support it with their votes.
No, he wasn't surprised at all that Harry Reid said, no, we don't want to actually vote on this. I want Patty Murray to step forward here. I want Mitch McConnell to publicly ask Patty Murray, who has been the lead voice in saying we should be willing to sail off the fiscal cliff if Republicans won't vote for a balanced approach. I want Patty Murray on the record voting to see if she thinks the Obama proposal is a balanced approach. If this is what Obama thinks is good for the country, you would think that the Democrats would be rushing forward to vote for it. But no, Harry Reid does not want to vote on what the president is demanding of Republicans.
So I guess we're left to conclude that it couldn't even pass by a bare majority of votes, and that they'd rather take the country off the cliff than actually work out a good faith agreement that reflects tough choices on both sides. Our Democratic friends are so focused on the politics of this debate, they seem to forget there's a cost. They're feeling so good about the election, they've forgotten they've got a duty to govern. A lot of people are going to suffer a lot if we go off this cliff. That's why we assumed Democrats would have preferred to avoid it. We thought this was the perfect opportunity to do something. Apparently, we were wrong.
Here's what should happen. Every single Republican should take to the floor of the United States Senate and the floor of the House and say the same thing over and over and over again until the media can't ignore it. And that is, bring the Obama plan to a vote. Let's vote on the Obama plan. I mean, if you really want to cut through the BS here, which is what we're really dealing with, and expose this for the naked political ploy it is. It's not to solve a problem, the president's proposal. It's just to get Republicans to cave in on tax rates, to divide the Republican Party in the House, neuter it, and then enable the president to have his way on virtually any issue, as you have a crippled House and a Democrat-controlled Senate. He's not thinking about the country. He's only thinking about politics. So I think what the Republicans ought to say is that this is what the president said he wanted. Let's put it to a vote. Let's vote on the Obama plan. I want Patty Murray, who's been talking about balance without detailing what she means, to stand up and take a stand on this what Barack Obama was demanding of Republicans in their first negotiation. You talk about calling someone out. You talk about exposing someone for what they're really trying to do. There isn't a Democrat in the well, maybe there's two or three who would have voted for what Obama was telling the Republicans they need to cave into. But wouldn't it be nice to get on the record that the overwhelming majority of Democrats in the United States Senate and the United States House oppose their own president's proposal? Oh, this is smart. This is smart. And Republicans got to get more clever about using means like this to press their point. They need to get more dramatic and theatrical and ways to attract attention to what they stand for. Because I still believe that they lost the election because they just didn't connect with the American people on a clear message. Yeah, one of the things that I've been talking about for a long time, Thomas Sowell, the famous and I think one of the best economists in the country, has been talking about, is that the data are so clear that when you raise taxes on the wealthy, it will, number one, be bad for the economy. Number two, it'll probably bring in less revenue. And when you cut tax rates on the upper income earners, the people who will take that money and invest it rather than spend it, and investment is how you create jobs, it not only helps the economy, but wealthy people end up paying a larger share of the nation's tax bill. Quote, at high tax rates, vast sums of money disappear into tax shelters at home or shipped overseas. At lower tax rates, that money comes out of hiding and goes into the American economy, creating jobs, rising output, and rising incomes. Under these conditions, higher tax revenues can be collected by the government, even though the tax rates are themselves lower. High-income people not only end up paying more taxes, but a higher share of all taxes. Now, the response from liberals when they hear that is, oh, that's just right-wing dogma. That's just ideology. That's nonsense. You know, show me the mess. You need to pay attention to arithmetic, and then you get Bill Clinton's one-liner from the Democratic Convention. But it's not dogma, and it's not ideology. What backs up what I just read to you from Tom Sowell is evidence. In the 1920s, Calvin Coolidge cut taxes, and what I just told you would happened then. Lower tax rates meant money was invested. The invested money generated more jobs, more output, and higher incomes. Plus, because that money was in the economy, rather than being sheltered, it was taxed. So you had wealthier people paying more in taxes, and you had them paying a higher share of the nation's tax bill. It happened in the 1960s with President Kennedy. When he cut the top rate from 70% to 50%, same thing happened. And here's the irony. The Republicans almost universally opposed the Kennedy tax cut, and the Democrats almost universally favored it. So the Kennedy tax cut to bring down the top rate was derided by Republicans and supported by Democrats. The bottom line is, like the Coolidge tax says, it was a good idea. And when Kennedy was attacked, the way Mitt Romney was, he answered it a little better than Romney. In fact, he answered it better, a lot better than Romney. Said, oh, this is just a tax cut for the rich. Kennedy said, no, this is a tax cut for the economy. And that's when he uncorked that great line, a rising tide lifts all boats. And a rising tide requires more investment. It happened in the 80s with Reagan. And here's the other thing. And this is so inexplicable that Republicans aren't making this case time and time again, as Tom Sowell pointed out the other day in National Review, is that under George W. Bush, the tax cuts of 10 years ago ended up producing more revenue. I mean, Sowell even wrote a piece that pointed out the report that it's in and the page on which you'll find it. He said, tax revenues went up, not down, after tax rates were cut during the Bush years. And the budget deficit went down year after the cuts in those tax rates were in place. What ballooned the deficits and tanked the economy was not the tax cuts, it was the mortgage crisis. Here's what the New York Times said in 2006. An unexpectedly steep rise in tax revenues from corporations and the wealthy is driving down the projected deficit this year. Close quote. So here's the New York Times, which, again, is so ideologically driven that they just want the higher rates. Their own news coverage was saying that they were getting more revenue than they thought they were getting from companies and rich people, so it's driving down the deficit. And yet we keep hearing that tax cuts for the wealthy spiked the deficit. Now, you can blame the media for not reporting this, and you can blame the Democrats for lying about this, but they always have. The bottom line is the Republicans need to be more effective at projecting their message than they were in November. What I've just told you, all this stuff happened. All these things are facts. And the American people listen to facts. But did you hear Mitt Romney saying anything of what I just told you? Were you hearing that during the campaign?